Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Duluth Christian Living Today. This is Elliot Thostenson. Joining us for our conversation, as always, is my wife, Dawn. How are we doing today?
Doing good, Elliot. Thanks for asking.
I hope you have a good day today with the sunshine and the fresh air.
I was out there enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm all hoping all is able to enjoy the spring as the Lord brings through renewal through the warmth of the sunshine and the green grass and the flowering trees and everything that's going on. So maybe find God's presence just through the glory of the day. We're going to be bringing forward a conversation tonight, working again from 1 John. We've been in and out of this letter over the last several weeks, but we're going to continue on with this discussion, something that came forward to me really at the tail end of last week, and I want to share it with you this week to see where we can go with this conversation and see how it may help you in your faith journey. We hope you continue to help us out with this ministry to get this archive link pushed out to friends and neighbors and others that you may see may need some encouragement through the Word. Also, let us know what you think about where we can go with some other scripture verses, give us some ideas. So send us your emails at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That is faithshare@dclnetwork.org. Again, you can always follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. However that goes. One of these days I'll remember to get that straight. We're very blessed in that we are continuing. We're looking forward to our Monday evening prayer services here in town in Chesterton. And just as a reminder, it's open for everybody. We do have a host, and that host is Frontline. That's at their conduit building behind their offices there. And although we have special needs and attention to their clients and to their staff that are being asked for prayer, please join us also for your needs.
Monday night, 6:30. On Broadway in Chesterton, behind the Frontline building.
Absolutely. And if you can't make it, send us a note through Facebook. Let us know what your prayer needs are. We'll be sure, certainly
happy to lift you up
and bring you forward in that time. So, Dawn, what do you have for us today? What do you want to start off with?
Well, I'm going to sing Praise You in the Storm. It's a beautiful song that talks a whole lot about knowing and finding God's presence even when life seems to be kicking you in the pants.
All right. And then following that, we'll get into our lesson here in 1 John. So here we go.
By now, God, that you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still the thunder rolls. I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I am with you, and as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hand, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand, though my heart is torn. I will praise
You should have it. or it doesn't happen on a timeline that you think it should happen. And my hope is that in this verse you may find opportunity to accept that a little bit easier in your time of need and when you go through prayer and you're finding yourself doubting whether the Lord's presence is with you. So let me just dive right in because I've got to. Mom, did you have something else to say?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me what I thought about it.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say that a lot of people, I think, tend to ignore the second part of this phrase and just they don't recognize that it's according to his will. And also, in this verse that you chose, it doesn't say you'll get everything you want. It just says that he'll hear you.
Yeah, and that's the contrast I'm putting forward in this discussion thing. Because I'll go into why that gets confusing to everybody. It's not necessarily this verse, but in one of the subsequent verses, right?
Yep.
And I will do whatever you ask. This is in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 13. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And that's where this area gets a little bit probably gray for more people because that phraseology is at least on the surface much different than the prior verse.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it is. I think there are a lot more similarity to these verses than what the words themselves would have on paper. Right? As we look into this, we need to make sure we do the follow-up on this and that so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And where I want to go right off, because I think this is going to frame it in our discussion, but also give people understanding to digest a little bit why I think this is an important verse. And this is in Barnes's commentary. The expression, according to his will, must limit the answer to prayer to what he sees to be best for us. Okay, so it's God's will, not what we think is right for us, but what God thinks is right for us, what God knows is right for us, right? Of that, we're not always good judges. We don't always believe what we think we know, right? And we often misjudge people. We misjudge circumstances. We misjudge our own lives. And so he goes on to say, we never perceive it as clearly as the Maker does. And in many things, we might be wholly mistaken. Certainly, we ought not to desire to be permitted to ask anything which God would judge not to be for our own good, right? So, although we think it's fine, although we think it's right for us, it's what we actually need right now, whether it's encouragement, support, healing, comfort for a loved one going through difficulty. God has another idea in mind possibly or a better plan, something that brings his glory to the world, not just for our sake, but for his sake. So does that help any of that time if you look at the commentary?
I guess, you know, we talk so much about finding God's word in the Bible, and some of these verses seem to contradict each other. So that causes me some concern. But I just think that, you know, everything that I've ever understood is that we pray to him, but we don't always know what's best and he does.
Well, for instance, if we pray to God asking for something, who knows?
$1 million,
right? And we're gonna. We also list puts into the absurdity, right?
Why?
If we pray for God, say, God, we want you to, you know, seek revenge on this person that's done me wrong. Yeah, really, is that what God wants for our lives? Have revenge on someone? No. So will God? So will God answer the prayer the way we hope to in that situation? No. Will God bring his glory to the situation? Absolutely will. But we have to be open to understand that just because we ask for it, it's not necessarily what we need for our journey in faith, something that's going to draw us closer to God, something that's going to bring us to that confidence that we have in that ultimate life that we have alongside Jesus in heaven, right?
But there are some verses that make it seem like it's that simple. Just ask.
Well, I think that's our interpretation, and I think that's a fast, quick interpretation. And that's kind of why I wanted to get into this, because I don't think it is as simple in nature as that. And that is an abuse of, I think, by people wanting to say something that Christianity and faith really isn't. It's not a fast solution. It's not a quick solution. And oftentimes, in fact, all the time, it starts with something inside you that needs to come to change or come to an understanding of. So prayer that looks outwardly for God to do something or inflict something into the world to bring you fame and to bring you glory and something to make you feel better, it's not working in the direction that God has always intended, and that is it starts from us changing within ourselves. So, you know, God bring us about to a space where we can accept what we have and not want for more, you know, that kind of prayer.
Well, what do you think about why we have to bring things forward to God when God knows everything?
Because God wants our relationship. I think that's the issue, is he wants us to have a close relationship. In order to be drawn closer to God, we have to be open and trusting with God. The best way to be open and trusting with God is to have an engagement with him, a conversation, and to bring him into our life. You know, we can be friendly with a lot of people, but we are only close to a handful of people. And what's the difference in that? Those people that we've made known, our faults and our flaws, our weaknesses and our desires and our preferences, right? That's the people we have the closest relationship with. But we don't do that with everybody. So the same goes with our relationship with God. He knows it, but giving it to him is a part of our ability to receive anything that he's going to bring us. That we've exposed ourselves openly, just as we expose ourselves to our best friends, to our wives, our spouses, our husbands, the husbands that are out there. You know, we show ourselves to be exactly who we are so that we have that relationship. So I think that's why God wants us to come together in prayer, knowing our needs, but it's not what we need most, I think, is to accept ourselves for what we are and for what we're not and look for God's guidance to be something better than where we have created for ourselves. And I know no other way to do that other than offering it to him.
Well, what do you think about this verse from James that you put in here? Chapter 4, verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives and you may spend what you get on your pleasures.
What's the difficulty with that one? What's calling your attention there?
Well, sometimes it feels like people are trying to draw a line in the sand.
If you give me this, Lord, I'll do this for you.
No. Well, if they didn't answer, then you must have done something wrong.
Well, I'm not sure if that's in this where you're going with this verse. If that's the case, I'm not quite in that with you yet. But when I see this and why I put this in here is, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. That, I think, you know, it's what drew you to ask for that. That's the issue, right? That's the subject matter here as part of the sentence. Did you discern your reason for coming to God and lifting this issue up in prayer to him? And so what was your motivation, your desires, and your expectations of that? And if that was done for causes that reflect for your enjoyment, for your betterment, your pleasure, not for the world's, not for God's glory, then, of course, why would he want to answer that?
Well, what about all the people that pray for people that they love that are sick? Of course, that's going to be something that would bring them pleasure.
Right, but healing brings God joy also. Healing brings God's glory to light for others to see, right? That's the issue. Let's take the absurd, and again, let's say, you know, you lifted up and you prayed to God that you want to win the lottery and you won the lottery $100 million, okay? Now, does the world see God being glorified because you put that together in prayer?
Well, Elliot, it depends on what I do with that $1 million, because I could turn around and put it into the world for God's glory.
And I would expect that's the reason why God gave it to you and answered that prayer. Okay, so you see where I'm going?
Okay.
Right? The fact that the prayer was answered has to be because God sees glory and opportunity for his grace and mercy to be seen by others, and either through your actions of receiving whatever it is he gave you in that prayer, he anticipates that next step to be something that grows his kingdom. It draws people closer to understanding his mercy and his grace, not the luck that you have, and not that you physically prayed and therefore you received, so therefore everybody just needs to pray so they receive. No, you need to come to grips with your faith and understand what God is doing for you, what God created you for, and he wants most of anything else is that you have your heart and his heart aligned and understood as one, okay? And it's not an opportunity to just go in there and do the deed, say that, make the ask, and come away with a response. You need to go in there looking for and anticipating an opportunity to build a relationship, to give yourself over to God, and to see where he will take you from there in, with your prayer. So okay. I'm hoping this helps people in this discussion, because it is, you know, quite often just asking you will receive, just like we see in the text from John. But you got to also look at the latter part of that verse, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, right? And this is Jesus making the statement, I will give you, why will I give you? It's so that my Father who sent me to you will be glorified by what has been accomplished in his name through me, okay? So
this, well, if that's not happening, you're not getting it. Basically.
You're not getting it as God's grace to you, as God's gift to you. Yeah. The world has strange ways of doing a lot of things for other purposes, right? And you could win that million, $10 million, $100 million. So
no,
whatever.
I don't think I could. Okay.
You probably can't, but some of it could, okay? And if you put the evil and put the no good, you put the consequences and circumstances that don't bring God glory. And that's, you know, the contrast that's in the world today.
But I just want to say, I don't believe that I'm an unlucky person. I just never will ever win at any betting. This is what God wants for me.
Apparently, he wants you to learn a lesson in that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. So it's a lesson somewhere to me. So for our listening audience out there, you know, as you go through a struggling time and trying to understand how come God's not answering your prayer, where is God in this? Do some reflection, do some discernment, and understand, you know, what was the nature of the prayer? What were you expecting out of that prayer? And if so, where's your heart in the anticipated outcome? How does this align with God's will for your life? Can you see that answering or not answering in a time frame where you expect it to be something that's needed one way over another?
And how does it align with his glory?
Yeah, and I'm going to suggest that his glory is to find a relationship with you, for you to come back to him and have a life that is filled with his love so much that it abounds beyond you and gets carried out into the world. That's where I believe we have that opportunity always in our faith. Dawn, anything else you want to make in discussion about this verse tonight?
I just think that there's a lot of people, and I know that I'm one of them, that sometimes find it confusing when the Bible makes a statement that sounds very much like just ask and you'll get it. But I see as you're pulling these lines apart that you have to pay very close attention, and you can't just look at anything in the Bible as its surface value. You have to really pull it apart. That's why I think what we do here is so very necessary.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because I think you're so right in that. You know, it's not an issue of superficial reaction. It's not black and white, as you said earlier. It's not words on paper, and therefore all of a sudden you go and do and things change. And you know, it's everything in between the lines. It's everything that goes into what brought you forward to read the Bible to begin with. It's going beyond that then to see and understand what's God trying to tell you within any given verse, and then how do you apply that to your life? And are you able to see God at work and sense God at work because of your readings?
That's also why I love this Praise You in the Storm song so much. It's saying, even when you're in the messiest parts of life, look for God, listen for him, praise him, raise him up, and you will recognize that you are not alone.
That makes sense to me, Dawn. I want to leave everyone with just this one issue. There's no laser to be found in the Bible. There's no one verse that's going to change your life specifically. Now, the Bible in its whole context, you know, one verse may lead you in a direction, but it's, as John just said, one verse carries forward so much more than just the few words that are in the verse. There's meaning behind the words. There's intent behind the words. There's a passion in the words. There's a lot for you to associate with your current life, associate with your desired path in life, And it really does take some time to react and respond. And that's where you should be engaging every verse in the Bible. You look for how you should react and respond and how it's calling upon you individually.
And like you said, he wants a relationship with you. So every time you pray, he hears you. Just know that every time you pray, he hears. You may not always get the answer you want, but you are in a relationship. You are not alone.
Absolutely. And as someone, you know, he's always got your back, okay? And this is an important issue relative to this verse. As you saw the commentary, or listened to the commentary, I should say, you know, we believe we know what's right for us, but we get it wrong so often. Think about how many mistakes we've made in our lives. You know, we thought we knew what was right to do for our kids, for ourselves, for our friends, and it turned out to be the wrong thing to do. Look at how many missteps we've taken on our own, right? So understand this, that in prayer, the same possibilities exist, that we'll be praying for the wrong situation and the wrong outcome, but God knows our needs, and God has our back. He will answer the prayer according to his will and your needs as it aligns with his call on your life. So,
amen.
With that, I think this has been a good verse. We look forward to having another conversation with you next week. Again, we hope to hear from you through email or through Facebook, or when you're following us on Twitter, send us a note back.
And remember, again, if you're going through any issue and you want prayer, please just go ahead and message us. We're having a prayer service every week now, and we can easily bring your concerns forward.
Yes, and we hope that you either join us virtually in prayer by praying for the ministry, praying for those in need in your life, knowing that we're praying for them also. We hope that you may find an opportunity someday to join us there at the Conduit Building off of Broadway here in Chesterton at 6:30 on Monday nights.
So,
all right. With that, we're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Woo! Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight? I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Come on, let's go.
Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high.
Open the eyes of my heart.
pulley.
We cry.